If you plan to buy one item commemorating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, I highly recommend the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October. It's titled The Reformation. You'll want to display this richly illustrated book on your coffee table, in your church library, or anywhere you can easily flip through this informative and beautiful book. The Reformation is written by regular guest Dr. Cameron McKenzie. Learn more about The Reformation at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Stanza 5 of the hymn, Our Father Who from Heaven Above, dealing with that petition, give us this day our daily bread, praying for something, that is daily bread, which is a simple summary of a lot of things, but also praying against something, in fact, a lot of things. We're going to be talking about that as we continue our series on the Lord's Prayer. On this Monday, October the 2nd, I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller joins us, pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, author of the book Has American Christianity Failed, and publisher of a new resource, Lord, Teach Us to Pray. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
Luther talks about this being a simple petition with, he says, a very wide scope. What does he mean by that?
Well, it is an amazing sort of thing, and a bit of an irony, or maybe we could call it a beauty of this petition, because of all the seven petitions of the Lord's Prayer, this one seems to us the smallest. I mean, we pray in the first three petitions for the Lord's name and His kingdom and His will. I mean, those are monstrous, massive petitions. I mean, we're basically asking God to give us everything that is His kingdom and His blessings, to His Spirit, His life, to the entire inheritance that we have as co-heirs with Christ, to dump that on us. In fact, Luther, when those three petitions, he says, we open our mouths wide so that the Lord will fill it. We throw our cloaks open so that the Lord can fill us with all these good things. And then we get to this fourth petition, and there's the modifier that makes it small. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, just what we need to get by this day. We're not asking for barns full of gold. We're just, you know, with food and clothing, with these we will be content. So it is of all the petitions, the most humble. And yet Luther says that when we pray it, we have to open our minds and our thoughts and expand them, not just over the oven and the flour bin, but to the distant field and the entire land. Because Luther will note that all of the different things in this world are all going into getting me my daily bread. And it's amazing to think about. I mean, all the things that go into me having a piece of bread to eat. You have the baker, and you have the farmer, and you have the truck driver, and you have the grocer, and you have the banker, and you have the accountant, and you have the computer programmer, and you have the police guarding the roads. You have the government guarding the borders of the country so that all is safe. I mean, basically, everything that everybody does is, in one way or another, ends up at last in me having a bite to eat. So that when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're praying for all these different vocations, all these different arrangements, all these different things that exist in the world, which result in keeping our bodies alive.
We usually think of these, kind of the Lutheran parlance, is first article gifts. Is that the right way to kind of classify this?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. Now, and there's something amazing here, because if you compare the Lord's Prayer to the Ten Commandments, you know, probably the Ten Commandments, the first three commandments have to do with the things that belong to God, but the last seven have to do with first article stuff, how we live in this world. But in the Lord's Prayer, it's kind of switched around. And of the seven petitions, there's only one that deals with our lives in this world, our first article stuff, the stuff of being created, of having a body and keeping that body alive, of the two estates of the family and the civil realm, the government. And it's reduced down to this one simple petition. Give us this day our daily bread. Just keep us alive and give us all the things that we need for this life.
So we have to expand our thinking in this prayer. And we, you said at the beginning, we tend to consider this a small thing. Why is that? Why do we keep it just, as Luther would say, the poor breadbasket?
Well, I mean, there is a way, if we are thinking of this petition rightly, that we're praying for so many things, but we're not praying for them for ourselves. In other words, we want everything to go well in the world. We want the farmers to have great success in their farming. We want the grocers to do well as they are stocking up bread and all the food for everybody. We want to live in peace. We want there to be good weather. We want, basically what we pray in this petition is that for everybody out there in all their various vocations, that will be great for them and it'll go well for them. But when it comes to me, we're not praying for a life of excess or gluttony, but just for a little bit. So that the prayer is generous towards our neighbor, but humble towards ourselves. So I want everything to go well for my neighbor in all these different vocations, but I don't want it to go well so that I can end up being a king and prince in this world. I just want what I need to stay alive. But for everybody else, we want it to go well. So there's kind of a generosity or an expansiveness to prayer when it hits our neighbor, but when it comes to our own lives, it's reduced down and humbled. And I think that's the right way to look at this petition.
Luther says we're also praying, and this kind of goes for all the petitions we've looked at, but this one needs a little explanation. We're not only praying for, we're also praying against.
Yeah, that's right. This prayer is especially directed against our chief enemy, the devil, says Luther. And then he goes on to say this, which I think is a keen insight into the devil's character. For all his thought and desire is to deprive us of all that we have from God or to hinder it. And he is not satisfied to obstruct and destroy spiritual government and leading souls astray by his lies and bringing them under his power. But he also prevents and hinders the stability of all government and honorable, peaceable relations on earth. And then later on, if God would not prevent him with our prayer, the devil from taking all these things, we would not have a straw in the field, a farthing in the house, not even our life for an hour. So that the devil is trying to take everything for it. He doesn't just want us to not have the gospel. He also doesn't want us to have supper. The devil does not only not want us to have life in heaven, he doesn't even want us to have life on earth. So that because the devil is attacking not only the church, but also the state and the family, we pray this petition against the devil.
He also has a special place for what he calls temporal authority and government in this petition. Why does he put that emphasis there?
Yeah, this is a little bit of Luther's political theory here, which I think is pretty helpful. He says that, he makes the point that like all the kings and dukes and landgraves and all these rulers and emperors like to have lions and swords and battle axes on their shields, but really they should have a piece of bread. Because if the government is doing its job and protecting its borders and keeping peace in the realm, the result is that the crops grow and people have food. If the government doesn't do its job, if there's chaos, lawlessness in the land, or if there's war from outside, then our bread is destroyed, our livelihood is destroyed, our daily life amongst our neighbors is brought to ruin. So that the goal of good government is that we're able to have dinner with our families in peace, and there's enough food to go around. And so he rightly points out the fact that that the civil realm is responsible for peace on earth, which allows us to have daily bread, so that when we pray for daily bread, we're praying for our rulers, for our government, and for peace. Luther says that the rulers then should be good rulers, so that when the church prays this petition, it's praying for them and not against them. In other words, the government should be warned that the Lord's people are praying the Lord's Prayer, asking for daily bread, which means they ought to be supporting that and not standing in the way of it, lest the prayers now make them the enemy of God's people and the enemy of God.
So should this reorient our thinking? Because most of us optimally maybe sitting down three times a day with our families to eat, but that's not modern life nowadays. So one or two. When we sit down at that dinner table, or maybe for some families, just the breakfast table, and we eat what is laid before us, did it change the way we think about how God provides?
I think so. We're tempted all the time. We're tempted to a materialism and it's kind of classic material. Not, we think of materialism as he who dies with the most toys wins. Materialism just means I want more stuff. But there's a formal way to think of materialism, which is that everything that is can be measured. We think of the world in cause and effect terms, natural terms. And even the Christian who confesses that God created the world and still sustains it is tempted to become a kind of practical atheist, where we look at the food and we say, oh, the food came from the store, and before that it came from the farmer or the baker, and it came from the ground. But before that it came from God. And it's God's will that the wheat would grow in the field. It's God's will that the baker would have life to do these things. It's God's will that the scientist would have the wisdom to build the electrical grid to make the ovens work so we could get the food. And it's God's will that it finally gets to us and sustains us, so that the things that we have, even to support this earthly life, even the daily bread, even the drink of water, even the clothes and the shoes and house and home and all these things, these come from God. And the Lord's Prayer, and this petition particularly, is teaching us that. It's reminding us of that, and it's telling us that we live our whole lives before God.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. It's our series on the Lord's Prayer, Part 5, talking about Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread. If you appreciate the teachings of Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, be sure to attend the 2017 Fall Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference in Houston, Texas. Pastor Wolfmiller will be there making the case of Jesus for you. Attendance is limited to 400. Child care is free. Registration is $120, and that includes three meals. You can register by check. Just make your check payable to Issues, Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also register very easily online at issuesetc.org. It's the premier conference for Christian laity, the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th. And 11th in Houston, Texas. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about how this petition ought to also remind us of how deeply God cares for us.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
The Law Assumed Sermon, the Gospel Afterthought Sermon, the God Loves You Anyway Sermon. I've written an article in the latest Issues, Etc. journal titled An Updated Listener's Guide to the Pulpit. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Matt Richard details his journey from folk Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues, Etc. journal.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. Part 5 of our series on the Lord's Prayer today. Give us this day our daily bread. Brian, Luther says that this part of this prayer ought to be at least a reminder to us of how deeply God cares for us, how, well, especially in our society, I think in Luther's day, it was much closer to home for them where the bread came from, how it got there, because they had to work for it. The work was directly connected. to it. If you didn't bake it yourself, you walked down to the baker and you saw him baking the bread that you would eat, and you would eat it that day. It was daily bread, as it was and continues to be for probably most of the world's population. But in 21st century America, we're so disconnected. I sound a little bit like a Marxist. We're so disconnected from the means of production that we don't become Marxists, but we do, as you say, become practical atheists in thinking about how God is actually working every day on your bread, whatever it is you're going to eat for dinner tonight. I mean, it may be Carrie at home who's trying to figure it out, but God's the one who's actually overseeing that operation.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly it. And this is especially the emphasis of the Small Catechism, where Luther says that, look, God gives bread to even the evil people. But in this petition, we pray that we would recognize it and give him thanks for it. So that part of the role of the Lord's Prayer, we want to remember, is that before it's even our petition to God, it's God's instruction to us. And he tells us what we need, and he's teaching us. And so one of the things that he wants to teach us is to know where all our stuff comes from. You know, it doesn't just magically grow up out of the ground. You know, that the shirts don't just kind of bloom in Target or whatever, where you go to get the shirts. I mean, shoes don't just fall from the sky. The Lord is providing all of these things through this earthly life, but it's the Lord who's providing them. So that when we look at the food and drink and house and home and shoes and clothing and all that we need to support this body and life, when we look at that, we are able to see past it to the provider of these things, God himself, and we're able to give him thanks for it. I mean, this is what giving thanks is, what being thankful it means. And the scriptures are constantly calling the Christian to thankfulness, constantly. But this thankfulness means to look at the things that are there, the things that we've had, or the things we've experienced, the things that that we possess or whatever, and to recognize them as gifts from God, and gifts from his mercy. Not gifts that we've deserved or that we've earned, but gifts that he gives us as a father who, without any merit or worthiness in ourselves. We've deserved none of these things, but God gives them all to us by his grace and his kindness. So thanksgiving arises out of that recognition that faith sees behind the daily bread the will of God for us, which is only possible because Christ died for us.
Isn't this really kind of encapsulating, and I think it is actually this broad for Luther, his view of history? We tend to think of history as some kind of grand scheme or plan or something you read about in a book, but it unfolds every day on the local level. I mean, it's just kind of life going on for a bunch of people all at once, and history is what we glean from it, the bigger picture that we glean from it. But it sounds like, in Luther's view, everything that we think about, these grand sweeps of government and rise and fall of empires, are really just about churning out daily bread in the end.
Yeah, exactly. Or even more, it's God answering the prayer of his church for daily bread. I mean, I can't quite get there in my own mind. And I pray for this wisdom that Luther has, and maybe someday, because our own thinking in our own day is so secular that it just kind of seeps in and we absorb it. And whenever I read Luther, I feel this in conflict, even in my own mind. Because for Luther, the reason why the wheat comes up out of the ground is because the church prayed, give us this day our daily bread. And the reason why apples hang on the apple tree, and the reason why the sword is able to stand against the enemy that's coming at the gates, the reason why it rains or it doesn't rain is because the church prays, give us this day our daily bread. The reason why I wake up tomorrow morning and breathe, the reason why fathers and mothers conceive children and children are born into the world, the reason why any sort of thing works in training children or ruling in the world or a house stands and doesn't fall, the reason for all of these things is because the Lord is answering the prayer of the church, give us this day our daily bread. The kind of the mechanisms of the world, the rotation of the earth around the sun, the spinning of the moon, the tides, the expansion of the universe or whatever's happening out there, all of this is the Lord answering the prayer of the church, give us this day our daily bread. So that history is nothing more than the unfolding of the Lord's answer to that prayer. In fact, physics is nothing more than the answering of the Lord to that that prayer. That basically everything that happens in the home and in the government and all these things that support this body and life are the Lord's way of answering this petition. Give us this day our daily bread.
So you're saying the church's prayer, not that the church's prayer has a power in itself, but God's merciful answer in Jesus Christ to that prayer is sustaining all of creation.
That's right. It's amazing. I mean, it is kind of wondrous and maybe frightful for us to see this, but that almost all of the Lord's salvific works in the Bible are his answer to prayer. I mean, he comes to rescue the people from their slavery in Egypt, and he says, I heard your cry, and so I came to answer you. So that the Lord brings us into his eternal counsel in our prayers and says, yeah, you asked me for this, and then I'm going to answer it. So ask me for daily bread, I'm going to answer it. Ask for my will to be done, and I'll do my will. That the Lord somehow, in giving us these prayers to pray, invites us into his counsel. He gives us the great privilege of being his friends, and then he's pleased to answer the prayers that he taught us to pray. So it's not like some sort of word faith sort of thing, that our prayers have these power. No, the Lord has the power to sustain all these things. The universe is held together by the power that is in Christ and in nothing else. But he's pleased to give all these great gifts in answer to our prayer.
These petitions, one thing's emerged so far in this series, and that is that we're praying these things not only for ourselves, but ultimately we need to realize as we pray them, we're also praying these for our neighbors and maybe even especially our enemies. Your final thoughts on that with about a minute.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So, from beginning to end, the prayer is it's a plural prayer. It's not my Father, but our Father who art in heaven. So we pray together with Christians, and we're praying for the whole world. We're in fact blessing our neighbor by prayer, as Jesus said, pray for those who spitefully use you. So our prayers are directed against the devil, but for the benefit of our neighbor, those close to us. So that when we want some daily bread, it's not just for us, but it's for our family or for our neighbors, for our friends, and it expands out and out and out so that the entire world would be blessed by God.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. He's co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, author of the book, Has American Christianity Failed?, and publisher of a new resource, Lord, Teach Us to Pray. Learn about this resource under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Brian, thank you.
You got it, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series with Pastor Paul McCain on the past, present, and future of confessional Lutheranism. We'll discuss the work of Concord after Martin Luther's death, and we'll have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Naaman the Syrian and Elisha the prophet from 2 Kings chapter 5. Now, the reason that God answers this prayer, there's only one reason. It's not because we so earnestly pray. In fact, we often neglect to pray this prayer. Or when we get around to this part and we're feeling a little pinch in our pocketbook or a little hungry that day, we may perk up and pay attention to give us this day our daily bread. But it's not because our attentiveness or our sincerity. There's only one reason God answers this prayer when you're praying it for yourself or your neighbor or, yes, even your enemies. He answers it solely out of his mercy for all men in Jesus Christ. He is the answer to this prayer. Christ himself, the bread that came down from heaven and gives life to the world. And because he has done this, he has given his life for the world on the cross as a sacrifice for the world's sins. And because he has been raised from the dead and lives to all eternity, he is there to intercede for us and to carry this petition before his Father. And solely on account of God's mercy through Jesus Christ himself, this prayer is answered. It really shows you how abundantly merciful God is, because every day there it is, right there in front of you, in your refrigerator, in your pantry, maybe even in the fast food you have to catch as you're hurrying to eat your daily bread. It's all there, being handed to you by a merciful Father who is merciful only in his Son, Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. thecleaningauthority.com.